Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Oh, I love the response already. Fantastic. We are ready to jump in today. I love your energy, and I'm going to do my best to match it here this morning because I believe we're going to have a fantastic time together. A few of you may know me. I've appeared as a few faces last year. I was Ranger John, Captain Canada, and BT Barnum, but I'm here today as John, staff of The Rocks, excited and pumped to share what I believe is a word that God has placed on my heart for every single one of us here today. And I really want to challenge you here today to get on the edge of your seat, to really lean in and get your notes, or go to therocks.info and you can actually follow along on message notes there, and to really get the most out of what I believe today will be a message directly from God. I'm just here as a vessel for what I believe God has really spoken to me personally about. Hey, if you're joining us on YouTube, either in Perth or around the world, so excited that you're joining us here today. And a special shout out to my dad, my biggest supporter. Love you always, mate. Yeah, dad. Fantastic. So today I'm bringing a message on our series, Divine Direction. And like Chloe said, if you were here last week to hear Sid preach, she is one of the best communicators we have in Perth. We're so blessed to have her in our midst. And she talked about this idea of the power to become. And she talked about one of her bottom lines, one of our main points, was this idea that if you want to know what the will of God is for your life, it's for you to become someone. And then when you become that person that God wants you to be, everything you do will flow from that. And it was such a powerful message. Definitely go and check it out on YouTube or on therocks.info in our previous messages. But the theme of my message today is around the idea of decision making. It's around discernment. It's about how do we have the wisdom to decide? How do we have the wisdom to decide? You know, one of the top questions I get here as a pastor, as one of the staff here at The Rocks, is how do I know what God's will is for my life? How do I know what to do in the future? How do I know if I'm going down the right path? How do I know if I'm making the right decisions? And honestly, this is a really legitimate question. This is a super fair question, because at the end of the day, the decisions that we make today become the stories that we tell tomorrow. The decisions that we make today become the stories that we tell tomorrow. And that's kind of something what I want to talk about. In other words, we make our decisions, and our decisions make us. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. Decisions are so, so incredibly important. Decisions are so, so important for us, because each and every single one of us are here today because of the combination of decisions that we've made throughout our life. You are literally sitting in this room at this very moment because of the combinations of decisions that you've made in your past. You're sitting in that exact chair that you're sitting in right now because of the yeses and the nos that you have made in your past. You're sitting here in this space on this Sunday morning because of the steps that you've taken out in faith, trusting in God that He'll provide for you no matter what. But you're also here today because of the failures and because of the fears of not taking those steps. You're also here today because of the successes, the sacrifices that you've made, but you're also here today because of some of the failures and because of some of the mishaps that you've made in your life. All this to say that all these things are rooted in one thing, and that is decisions. And this is so incredibly important, the decisions that we make every single day, because it's too important to not make these decisions in the best way that we possibly know how. And it's too important to not include God into this process. If I truly believe that God's word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path, and if I truly believe that if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understandings, but in all my ways submit to Him and He'll make my path straight, I don't have any time to waste in order to make sure that everything I do, every decision that I make is from God. I don't have time to waste. I don't have another moment not to include God into the process, because my time is too precious. God's time and God's plan for my life is too precious not to bring Him off of the sidelines and into the game. All about this is the wisdom to decide and include God in that process. You know, some of you may know that I have a background in marketing. I actually have a degree in commerce, in a marketing management, but I have a really keen interest in market research and also consumer behavior. I was actually sent to Cambodia about 4 or 5 years ago to do some market research there. But one of the things that I really remember from my studies is this idea of consumers and when they're making a choice to buy something and the decision process that they go through. And there's this one study in particular that I absolutely love and that really, really reminds me of exactly what we're going to be talking today. And that experiment was called the GEM experiment. And it was by these psychologists. They have, their names were on the screen there, Sheena Iyengar and Mark Lepper from Columbia and Stanford University. And this experiment is based around the idea of presenting participants with different degrees and options in order to see at which point they're most likely to buy something. So we had two pools of participants. We had one pool with 6 options of jam which they could choose from, and the second pool where they had 24 options of jam to choose from. Now, if you're like me, or probably most of us would assume that when you have 24 options of jam, when you have so many options to choose from, you're probably more likely to find the one that you're after, right? You're probably more likely to jump in and to buy that product because there's so many options to choose from. But here's the paradox of choice. If you're presented with too many choices, if a person is presented with too many options, you're actually less likely to even buy the product in the first place. What this research tells us is that even though more options may generate more interest, people are actually less likely to buy anything compared to when there's less options. And not just minorly, this is 10 times more likely to not buy something when there's more options presented in front of you. All this to say that choice paralyzes decision making. When there's too many choices, it can paralyze our decision making. And unfortunately, this isn't just limited to spreads we like to put on toast. This applies to all aspects of our lives. More than ever, we are presented with thousands upon thousands of different choices every single day. Actually, the average adult is presented with 35,000 decisions that they have to make every single day. Now, more than ever, we have options to travel, we have options to work, we have options to work and travel, we have options to dine-in, we have options to takeaway, we have Uber Eats, we have credit cards, MasterCards, debit cards, we have direct debit, we have direct transfer, we have Apple Pay, we have all these things, we have Long Mac topped up, we have Long Mac 3/4 topped up, we have Long Black, Ice Long Black, we have triple venti, soy, no foam, extra whip, hot latte, you have all these things, all these options out there for you, and yet, we are paralyzed by choice. Why? Because I don't want to miss out on the perfect will of God for my life. This inner dialogue in our mind that says, I don't want to miss out on this perfect will of God for my life. And because this illusion of perfection is out there, there's a generation of people who are too scared of making decisions. There's so many of us who have so many options ahead of us, and we're so paralyzed by choice that we're too scared to jump in and to actually make a choice in the first place. But I believe that the wrong choice or making no choice is actually more imperfect than making no choice at all. I'll say that one more time. I believe that making no choice is more imperfect than making an imperfect choice. So how can I become more comfortable in taking steps in faith, knowing that God's got my back? Well, the good news is that if you're a follower of Jesus here today, if you believe in the gospel, then you're 100% going to be covered by his grace. That no matter what, you will have 100% clarity in all that you do. That no matter what's going through your life, that you'll never have to doubt in your mind. There'll be no obstacles in your way. Right? Wrong. And that's exactly this line of thinking that leaves us paralyzed. That leaves us paralyzed by choice, is paralyzed by this idea that I don't want to miss out on the perfect will of God because I'm waiting for that 100% clarity. I'm waiting for that exact moment where I know 100% what's going to happen. But guess what? It's missing one very important ingredient, and it's the ingredient of faith. Where does faith come into the equation when we don't know? Where does faith come into the equation when we make decisions? Where does our faith in God and trust in him come into the equation when we're making our choices? You know, even when I can't logically see what's going to happen, even though when I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, even though when I can't logically put the steps together, how am I making my decisions in faith? In fact, I want to show you a portion of scripture that to me is absolutely fascinating. And the author is a guy by the name... Oh, thanks. Your mouth is dry. That's my cue. 2 moments, please. Woo! It is really dry up here, okay? There's a portion of scripture that to me is absolutely fascinating. And it's by this guy, his name is Paul, and he wrote a large part of the New Testament. It's the second half of this really incredible book that you should get your hands on if you haven't had a chance to. We have some free ones at the Connection Desk. But this guy, Paul, he is a really wise dude, but he says in 1 Corinthians 16:6, listen to his understanding of the future. He says, perhaps. Perhaps I will stay for 3 weeks. No, he says, for a while, even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me. Because no one ever opposes me? No, because there are many who oppose me. Perhaps for a while or even wherever I go, I hope, if the Lord permits, there are many who oppose me. Even Paul didn't have a clue of what the future held. Even Paul didn't have any idea of the details of what was the future going to hold for him. And yet he served God in such an effective way. He was able to serve God in such a powerful way, even though he didn't know the details of the future. You know, if you feel a little bit like Paul here today, if you feel a little bit confused of what the details are of the future, have faith today and be encouraged because you're in the same place that Paul was. If you're a little bit confused and a little bit bogged down by what's to come, take comfort in this because guess what? God's got a plan for you and God's got a purpose for you and he's going to cover you no matter what. But we plan our steps in our mind, but the Lord determines our steps that we take. We make plans in our mind and we try to plan things on our own, but God will determine the steps that we take. So how do we grow in God's perfect will? We do it step by step. But here's a big thought for today. When we're seeking God for direction and discernment in our decision making, he isn't always going to give us a clear answer. He isn't always going to give us a clear answer. God sometimes says, I'm not going to show you what to do, but I'm going to give you the wisdom to decide yourself. Listen closely. God doesn't always show us precisely what to do, but he will give you the wisdom to decide what to do. You know, when it comes to wisdom in the Bible, the very first person that I think of, and probably a lot of us who will think about, is this guy by the name of Solomon, mainly because he was named the wisest person alive at the time. In 1 Kings 4:29, it says, Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all men of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else. So what does Solomon, the wisest person ever to live, say is the wisest thing to do? This is going to be the best advice you'll ever receive in 2019. I can guarantee you. Make sure you're listening to this part. What is the wisest thing that you can do, says by the wisest person? What does the wisest person say is the wisest thing you can do? Are we ready? Proverbs 4:7 says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Getting wisdom. This is the wisest thing you need to do. In other translations, it says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And I can imagine he would say it like that as well. It's like that feeling when you burn your hand on a hot stove and then the person next to you is like, oh, be careful, it's hot. And you're like, thanks, Karen, I now know that it's hot. You didn't have to tell me beforehand. Or it would have been nice to know that beforehand. I don't know why I find it so funny. It's probably because it's so simple. It's almost redundant. And it's almost too obvious. And I want to bring this one step further. I want to show you something that you've probably seen maybe 1,000 times, but maybe you've never actually seen it. Who here likes Toblerone? Raise of hands. Who here likes the Toblerone chocolate? Oh, not as many. Probably the better question is, who doesn't like Toblerone? I want some honest people in this place. Ah, we got one here. It's okay. No perfect people allowed. God's grace covers you as well. For those who like Toblerone, we'll put the logo up first. For those who like Toblerone, who has ever seen that giant bear on the mountain? Who has ever seen that giant, massive bear on the mountain? We can go to the next slide. Right, bear. Right, who saw it? I saw a few hands go up. Oh, Mary, come and get a Toblerone. You earned it. Share it with me on Monday, okay? And guess what? Now that you see the bear, it's almost impossible to unsee. Now that you've seen this bear, now that you've seen this logo to its fullest potential, it's almost impossible to unsee it. And that's how wisdom works too. Now that I'm 26, I don't make the same mistakes that I did when I was 16. And I hope that when I'm 36, I'm not going to continue to make the same mistakes that I'm making here today. And what is happening when I'm saying that? What I'm saying is that I wish back then what I know now. And that's wisdom. Wisdom is more valuable than gold, it's more precious than jewels, and it's more important than money. But let's imagine for a moment that you could receive this future wisdom right now. Imagine that you didn't have to wait for life to throw you a curveball to develop good judgment. What if God could give you the wisdom to decide? So that's what we're going to go do now. We're going to go through 3 simple thoughts that will help you become more wise and will launch you into what I believe is God's divine direction for your life. The first one is walk. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Say to the person next to you, walk with the wise. sneaky drink break. I love hearing these stories of life change. I love hearing Matt's testimony this morning. I love hearing, this is what we're all about actually here at The Rocks, is to really do these life changes with people and to really help people journey wherever they are with the relationship with Jesus. And I've had the privilege of being in Matt's small group. I actually lead his small group. And I've had the privilege of journeying with him for the past maybe 6 or 7 months or so. And there's a really important and crucial part of his testimony. I'm not sure if you completely grabbed it or not, but he said he found the support that he needed when he joined his small group. You know, I had a conversation with him a few months back, and one of the things he said to me was probably a lot more wise than maybe he even realized at the time. But what he said, I need to get new friends. He said that the people I hang out with are not a good influence on me, and that if he wants to change his life, he knew that he would have to get a new set of friends. And that's exactly one of the reasons why he came to the Rocks YA in the first place. You know, he struggles with drugs, he struggles with addictions, and he knew he needed new friends in order to get over that. Show me your friends and I can show you your future. It's almost impossible to live life right if you've got the wrong friends. Show me your friends and I can show you your future. It's almost impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Let that sink in. Your mom was right. You should listen to her. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And this is a beautiful imagery, because what's not being said is that you should visit your wise friend once a week, maybe on a Sunday morning. It's actually saying you should walk with this person. You should walk with these people. You should surround yourself and do life together with these people. Get plugged into a small group of people you want your life to look like. Walk with the wise. Do life with the wise. Get plugged in. That's why we always plug these small groups. That's why we always talk about small groups and life change and community groups and circles are better than rows, because it works. Because small groups actually work. And that's actually one of the reasons that we plug these things so much, is because they work. And that's actually one of the reasons why we're at capacity right now in small groups. This is one of my biggest pleasures, actually, that we don't have any space in any more of our small groups, because people know that they work. But stay tuned for another month. We'll be opening up some more. Cheeky plug. You know, while I was preparing this message, I was thinking to myself, Who are my friends? Who am I surrounding myself with? Because like I said, show me your friends and I can show you your future. And to be honest, not to brag, but I have a pretty awesome future ahead of me. Not because of who I am, but because of the people that God has surrounded me with. You know, I want to become a better preacher, better communicator. And so I surround myself, I walk together in life with Pastor Daniel, who I believe is one of the best communicators here in Perth. You know, one of my aspirations in 2019 is become the best leader that I possibly can. That's why I meet up every fortnight for coffee or for brunch with Sid, who I believe has leadership beyond her years and wisdom beyond her years. You know, one day I hope to have a godly relationship. And that's why I hang out with people like Sam and Chloe, who epitomize this idea of a godly relationship and a godly marriage. And I want to enter into a relationship with that wisdom. You know, I want to become the best singer in Australia. That's why I hang around Pastor Mike, because I believe that one day I will join The Voice Australia. Amen. Thank you. Surround yourself with the people you want to become more like. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. You know, I joke about being surrounded by Pastor Mike and becoming one of the best singers in Perth. Unfortunately, that ship has sailed a long time ago. Ask any of my close friends. But honestly, Mike is one of the reasons why I'm even standing here in the first place. You know, four years ago, I used to catch up with Mike every probably fortnight for breakfast before work, and he would just invest into me. He would speak life into me. He'd speak truth into me. He would say, hey, have you considered this? Hey, what are you doing? Why are you doing this for? Hey, I think this is a good option for you. And he took the time to really, really invest into me. And I can honestly say that I wouldn't be in Australia here today if it wasn't for him. Who are you surrounding yourself with? He's actually the one that originally planted the idea in my mind to become a pastor, to become a part of this church as a staff. Who I am is the combination of decisions that I've made in my past and the decisions and steps that I've taken in faith. You know, if you want to make better decisions, hang around better people. There are some people here today who just really need to hear this. Who are your friends? Who are the people that you're surrounding yourself with? You know, it doesn't matter. These people all don't have to be surrounded by you who are, you know, we say that you should surround yourself with people who are not Christians, who are people who are far from Jesus, and that's totally true, that's totally fine. But we're saying walk with the wise, walk with people who are close to Jesus, because at the end of the day, you want to become more like them. The second thing that I want to do is talk about this idea of ask. And my second point is this: ask. What if I told you that there was a promise and a prayer that God will always answer? In James 1:5, it says, if any of you should lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But here's the deal, though. You have to spend time with him in order to be able to ask him. Where can you get wisdom? I can guarantee you that you can get it every single day from the Word of God, from His Bible. I can guarantee you that you can get the wisdom every day that you desire from the people in your small group. I can guarantee you that you can get the wisdom that you desire every day from the voice of the Holy Spirit. He is the good shepherd who guides His sheep. I love this concept because it means that He is leading us. He is taking us down an awesome path. But the thing is, the catch is, it's our responsibility then to follow. We have to do something. We have to jump in, and it's our responsibility then to follow. When we walk with him, he leads us where to go, but we have to spend time with him. You know, this past week, I was reminded of my childhood a little bit, back to arts and crafts time. You know, when your teachers would give you the dot-to-dot sheets of paper, you know, the ones with, like, the dots and the numbers, and then you have to, like, trace it around, and then it makes, like, a really cool picture at the end. I have an example of one that we can look at. You really don't need the dot to dot. But a lot of time, you can honestly tell what the photo is going to look like. You don't have to actually connect one to two to three. Like, I don't have to stand here and be like, this is going to be a fish. like it's pretty obvious what it's going to look like. You could probably do it blindfolded with your left hand in like under 15 seconds. I really don't need to tell you to connect the dots in order to make the picture come to life. But then you get a bit older. And then you get a bit older and life gets a bit more complicated. And maybe your picture of your life will look something like this. And things get a little bit more complicated. And the image of your life isn't as easy to follow. No, you don't, like, you have to connect these dots in order to tell what the final picture is going to be. It's not as easy, is it? This is going to take some time. You know, luckily, though, there are some numbers there on the screen that you can follow in order to connect one to two and two to three. And there are instructions that you can follow. But what if I took the numbers away? What if I took these numbers away? What if the guide was erased? What if you had to figure out this drawing all on your own? And this is exactly how some of us are treating God. This is exactly how some of us here are making our decision. When life is easy and simple, we don't need God's help. We don't need his help to connect the dots. We can see the bigger picture. We can see the fish. We don't need to ask God for his help and his guidance in connecting the dots all together because we can do it on our own wisdom. We can do it on our own competence. We can do it on our own skills. We don't need to include God into that process because we can do it on our own ability and our own competence. But what happens when life gets tough and life gets complicated and you can't see the entire picture, you can't see three steps ahead of you, and you can't see what the finished product is going to look like? Some of us are making decisions like this where we're going blind all over the page, connecting dots that aren't meant to be connected because we're trying to do things on our own strength and we're trying to do things without including God in the process, when at the entire time, all he wants us to do is ask him and include him in the process. Some of us are doing this blindly. He's giving us the numbers to follow, but we have to ask. If any of you should lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And when we ask, God's response is beautiful. The Lord says in Psalm 32, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and I will watch over you. He'll give you the wisdom. He will guide you. He will advise you. He'll watch over you. God, tell me what to do with my life. He will guide you. He will advise you. He'll watch over you. God, I don't know if I'm raising my kids in the right way. He will guide you. He will advise you. He'll watch over you. God, I don't know if I'm supposed to be taking this job offer. He will guide you. He will advise you. He'll watch over you. God, I have no idea what I'm doing with my life. Should I turn left or should I turn right? He will guide you. He will advise you. He will watch over you. Someone here needs to hear this today. For far too long, you've been doing things all on your own strength, on your own wisdom, on your own competence. But it's time to include God into that process. You've been trying to connect the dots of life together without God's help. But it's time to ask God for wisdom. It's time to ask God for direction. It's time to ask God what to do next. It's time to spend some quality time with him to seek God and tell and ask him where he is guiding you and where he is taking you. Ask for wisdom. Ask God for direction. And once you do, all you have to do next is connect the dots. Connect the dots. Start drawing. Make a choice. Do something about it. Too many of us get paralyzed by choice. Too many of us get bogged down by the details. Too many of us get paralyzed by all the plethora of options that are out there. But God doesn't want us to be paralyzed. God is giving us a way out to God, to follow his guide. Because at the end of the day, if we're confused about the future is going to hold, if we're confused about what that next step is going to be, then he is going to give it to us if we ask. We don't have to be confused with the 24,000 options that are out there. There was one clear option that is always there, and he is ready to give it to us, but we have to ask. And when he answers, we have to connect the dots. So here's the golden question. How do I know if it's from God? Is this open door here to harm me or to help me? Is this decision my desire or the desire of God? Listen carefully. If Scripture doesn't give you a clear direction, in other words, there are things in Scripture that are very clear yes or no things. You know, when God says follow, it means that we have to follow. You know, there are very clear moral applications that we're meant to follow. I'm not talking about these things. I'm not talking about this kind of following. You need to read your Bible for that. You don't need wisdom for that. But when we're confused about what step to take next, when we're confused about all the options and about all the doors that are opening, how do I know if it's the will from God? How do I know this is a decision that God wants me to make? God guides you. He advises you, and he watches over you. God gives you that wisdom to decide. You know, my dreams and aspirations 5 years ago were to work for a large international corporate company of some sort and work my way up the ladder. You know, I have with my marketing degree, I was actually always hoping to work for a big kind of food company like Mars or Nestle. And I actually had dreams, and I was actually already at a point where I was going to pursue my MBA and go down that path. I never in a million years thought that I would be here standing in front of you all here today. In fact, if you would have told me that, if God would have revealed that to me 5 years ago, I would have ran the other direction. There is no way that I would have said yes to that calling. But God showed me the steps that I needed to see in order to get me to the purpose and the plans that he had for me. If God would have shown me that entire picture and connected all the dots for me, I probably would have ran the other direction. But God showed me 1 to 2. He held my hand from 2 to 3. I went back to 2 a couple times. And went back to 3. 3 to 4, 4 to 5. And every single day, I'm still on that journey. And if I'm being super honest, I don't know what the entire picture looks like for my life. And I'm actually facing this exact situation in my circumstance right now. My visa here expires in September. And I need to seek God and ask God for wisdom on what to do next. I need to wait for him and call on him and connect the dots and take a step in faith. But when God answers and when God does talk to me, it's my responsibility then to connect the dots. But I have to do it in faith. I have to do it in trust, knowing that God's got me covered. And I don't have to worry about all the options that are out there. I don't have to be paralyzed by choice. I don't have to be concerned with a plethora of details out there, because I know and I trust that God will guide me along my path. You know, I've shared this a few times, but just to get up those to speed who haven't heard this part of my story before, my mom passed away when I was 16, so about 10 years ago. And she had an incurable pancreatic cancer that she suffered for about 4 years. And we always kind of knew that it was going to come to an end at some point. There was no cure, and we were kind of just waiting, in a sense, towards the end. But what I haven't shared with a lot of people is that within her last year of life, she knew that the end was coming soon, and that she decided to write a journal for my brother and myself as a way of capturing some of the thoughts and some of the memories that she wanted us to keep forever. And she wrote these down, and she said it was one of the hardest things that she ever had to do. But she wrote those down because she knew how important it was going to be for my brother and I 10 years down the road to look back on some of these memories, some of these thoughts that she had, to keep her memories, some of her memories alive with us. And when I went back home in, I guess it was July or August now, I took this book out again and I started to read it. And I don't tend to read this book all that often because you can imagine how hard it is sometimes. But I decided that I was going to read it from front to back because I don't actually get to go home all that often. And something really stood out for me. Something really jumped off the page. And I truly believe it's from God. I truly believe that God was using that for me in my circumstance, in my life. But I also believe that someone here needs to hear these words. And I truly believe that the words were speaking to me at that time 10 years ago, because I had no idea what I was doing with my life. I had no idea what direction I wanted to go. I had no idea where God was leading me. I had no idea what the plans were for my life. I had no idea where to step. I had no idea that I was going to be working in Australia for sure, but I had no idea even in general if I was going to do business or science. I was so lost. I was so confused. And maybe some of us here today are in a similar situation where you feel like you have no idea what that next step is going to look like. Maybe you have no idea what the future is going to hold. Maybe you have no idea where number three is when you're stuck at two. I want to read these words to you. This is what my mom wrote. She said, "You seem to be struggling with your future and what path you should take. Pray about your options and God will guide you in the correct path. You may end up doing something that you would not have considered in the past." God's going to guide you. He's going to advise you. He's going to watch over you. And he's going to give you that wisdom to decide. You may end up doing something that you would never have thought or considered in the past. Isn't that so true? You know, like I said, I never thought in a million years I'd be standing up here in front of you. And these words are scary. In fact, these words are so frightening. But guess what? God's going to guide you. He's going to advise you and he's going to watch over you because he loves you and he cares for you. He will give you the wisdom you seek, but you have to walk with him. You have to ask for it. And at the end of the day, you just have to make a decision. You have to connect the dots. I never thought I would end up working for a church, but guess what? Here I am. I ended up doing something that I never would have considered in the past. But I also can't imagine myself doing anything different. And that's the beauty of God's divine direction for your life. It's not always easy, but it's always right. So how do you get divine direction? Well, you serve him perfectly in this moment. You walk with the wise and you walk with God. You ask him for that wisdom. And at the end of the day, you do something about it. You connect the dots. So why don't we do that right now? What I would love for everyone to do is to get up onto your feet. And I'm going to give us all an opportunity to respond to this message. You know, just like in James 1:5, it says, "If any of you should lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." I want to give you all a chance to accept and to ask for this wisdom here today, whatever journey you're on. It doesn't matter where in the spectrum of faith you find yourself, if you find yourself as a veteran Christian, or if you're even new to this faith, or even if you're not even sure what you believe in at this point. I want to include you in this time because I truly believe that if we're going to take this seriously, if we're actually going to step on into what God's word is telling us, then I want to give you an opportunity to ask for the exact wisdom that we've been speaking about. You know, maybe there's a circumstance, maybe there's a decision that's ahead, maybe it's big, maybe it's small, it doesn't matter. But whatever decision you're going through, I want to challenge you that God is going to be there to answer that calling and answer that prayer. But all we have to do first is ask.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.